Be strong in yourselves. No, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God. Amen? The whole armor of God. And when you do that, you'll stand.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday and welcome to Love Never Fails. On today's program, Pastor Bill continues his study of Revelation with the conclusion to the message, War in Heaven.
In the future here, they will never, no never, have access to heaven again. They will never, no, never see the glory of heaven again. They will never hear the angels or the saints of God praise and worship our Lord. They'll never, never hear that. And so for those that the amillennialists who teach that Satan is bound, he was, in other words, defeated at the cross and he was bound, well, they're incorrect. Satan is not bound. He was defeated, but there's no chain on him, okay? Yeah, and so he's still in the future here. Now, so here, look at the outcome now of this war in verse 9. It says, and so the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old. He was in the Garden of Eden, remember the tempter. Called the devil, that's the slanderer, if you will. And Satan, that word means adversary. And Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was what? He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown out with him. So that means that he will never, no, never set foot in heaven again. And from that point on, it's a downward spiral for the wicked one. He goes from that to the abuso, from earth to the abuso, or the bottomless pit. And then finally, he's going to end up in the lake of fire. Amen? Now, so the earth right now, in the future, becomes his only base of operations. So Satan and all of the fallen angels, the demons, they are confined, not even to the heavenlies. You follow me? Ephesians 2:2, you know how he's the prince of the power of the air? Okay, now here, that's over with. He and his demons, they are now confined to one location, and it's called planet Earth, loved one. So this now begins the greatest, cruelest spiritual warfare in the history of mankind, is now the beginning of the last 3.5 years. It's horrible. And his mission, he's going to deceive, as we'll get into chapter 13, his mission, he wants to deceive the whole world. He wants the whole world to take the mark. He wants the whole world to worship him. And it's not hard for the devil to deceive the world. He just called, see? It's not hard. It's not hard for him to deceive the world. I mean, he's deceiving them today, isn't he? Yes. Now, look at verse 10. Then, meaning after Satan and his angels were cast out, look what John says. He says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power or the authority of his Christ have come. This is speaking of the future event now, meaning the millennial reign, the second coming of Christ. It says, have come. And listen, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God night and day, constantly in heaven, loved one, has been cast down. And in the future, his voice, the voice of the devil, will never be heard in heaven ever, ever again. Now, so John says, I heard a loud voice. The loud voice can't be the angels that are speaking, okay? We're not told, but it's most likely, since Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and the word there says our brethren, it's probably the tribulation saints, the martyrs, amen, that are crying that out. And then in verse 11, a very familiar scripture, it says, and they overcame him, meaning the people with the loud voice, they overcame him, the accuser of the brethren, and look how they did it, by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, amen? And it says, and by the word of their testimony. Testimony, we get our word martyr. So they were martyred for their faith. Their confession was, I will never deny Jesus Christ. Amen? So you have their cleansing, you have their confession. And then it says something else. And they did not love their lives to the death. In other words, the courage they possessed. They did not count their own lives precious. And they had more, they were not afraid of the wicked one. They were not afraid of death because they had faith in the living Christ. Amen? Now, so they overcame Satan, the accuser of the brethren, not in their own power, but by the blood of Jesus. Now, where does that take us back to? It takes us back to the victory won by our Savior on the cross, the substitutionary death of our Lord for our sins and so forth. We know, like next Sunday, we celebrate communion. I always usually use 1 Peter 1:18-19. For we know that we were not redeemed or purchased with corruptible things like silver and gold from our aimless conduct. He says, after the traditions of men, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? The precious blood, the spotless, sinless Son of the living God, loved one. You know, Satan has not stopped accusing. Did you know that? Listen, Satan not only accuses you, me, before God, he also accuses us to ourselves. Amen? I mean, it's constant. You're not saved. God doesn't love you. God will not forgive you this time. Look what you did in your past. Do you know the Holy Spirit never brings things back up like that to hurt you? To hurt you. The Bible says God remembers our sin no more, meaning he does not hold our sins against us because Jesus paid it all. Now, so boy, he comes all the time and so forth, and he's so quick to condemn us. Any weakness or even a strength, oh, you think you're stronger in the Lord. No matter which way you go, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the father of every lie, isn't he? And you know what? He'll bring up your past. He does it to me, does it to you. He'll bring this up and this up and this up. And you know what? What he doesn't want you to do when you are being accused, you know, is turn to the grace of God. He doesn't want that. He wants you to make you feel you can't turn to the grace of God. He wants you to feel that you can't turn to the love of God, that you can't come back to him. He'll do anything to stop you. That's what he does. Don't listen to lies. Listen to the truth of God's word. Amen? Yes. So the accusations of Satan, they are nullified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know why? When he accuses you and he accuses me in heaven, loved one, listen, never forget what it says in 1 John 2:1, that we have an advocate, amen, in heaven with the Father. You know what an advocate is? Well, number one, that advocate is the sinless, spotless Son of God who died for your and my sins. And not only that, the word advocate means like defense attorney. The word advocate means one who is called alongside to help. And so here Satan is accusing, but who's in heaven? The one who died for us. And he stands as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, doesn't he? And he stands before the Father. And listen, his prints are still there. Amen. He paid it all. And Jesus Christ has never lost a case. If you are in Christ, he's never lost a case. Amen. Boy, and I thank God for that. Listen, we have right now that advocate. And you know what it says in 1 John 2:2? That he himself, meaning Jesus, is a propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. It didn't say there, John didn't say that Jesus' death was a propitiation for our sins. He said Jesus himself, he was the sacrifice. God did not punish you and me. God punished himself on the cross for you and me. Do you understand? Listen, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have now imputed into our account the perfect, spotless, sinless record of Christ Jesus. That is our position. It is not our practice. Does that make sense? Okay. And so I just go, oh, Lord, thank you. No wonder Paul said in what Romans 8:33, who will lay a charge against God's elect? Amen. Who's going to do it? Well, it doesn't work because there are no charges at the throne of grace. Amen. No, loved one, listen. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 1:7, what does that say? Is it 1:7? Yes. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, all unrighteousness. Verse 9 of 1 John, what does it say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Praise God. That's good. We can go out there and eat in and out now. Look at verse 12 with me. It says, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But watch this now. There's a contrast. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. The sea speaks of the Gentile nations. For the devil has come down to you. He's no longer in heaven, man. He has come down to you having what kind of wrath? Boy, it's not orge, the wrath of God. It's themos, or however you pronounce it in Greek. And it's an emotional. He is emotional. He's all torn up. So he says he's coming down with great wrath. And look at the reason. Because he knows he has a short time. This is Satan's last stand. See, he knows. Satan's read the book of Revelation. He doesn't win. He can't win. But he is the devil. There's no mercy in him, no goodness in him. He can't turn. He knows that he just has a short time. So he is now like a caged animal. His days are numbered, man. And he knows what he must do, and that's destroy Israel. But he knows that he can't destroy Israel because God is in control. Amen? Now, the war continues. Look at verse 13 quickly. And now the dragon, that's the devil, when he saw that he had been cast to the earth, what did he do? He persecuted. That means to hunt down, to chase, to pursue. He persecuted the woman. That's the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, who gave birth to the male child, meaning Jesus the Messiah. So now again, this will be the worst time in the history of all of Israel, of the history even of the world. And you think about the Jewish race. They're going to suffer so here. And they have suffered from the very, very beginning. He's going to try to exterminate them, but it's not going to work. I mean, you know, in the Holocaust, you know, in the war, you know, 1/3 of all the Jews in the world died. Think about that, in the Holocaust. But here, loved one, under the Antichrist, do you know how many of the Jews are going to die? 2/3 of the Jewish race. And you say, well, Bill, how do you know that? Well, Zechariah 13, verses 7 and 9, tell me that. It also says in Jeremiah 37 that this is going to be the time of Jacob's trouble, meaning Israel's trouble, not the church, Israel's. And there's not ever going to be another day like it. It's going to be a bad time, loved one. Now look at the last half again of the great trib in verse 14. But the woman, meaning the Jewish people, Israel, was given 2 wings of a gray eagle. So wings in the Bible always speak of divine protection. Remember, like God bore them on eagle's wings in the book of Exodus, you know, when they got out from Pharaoh and all that, the Jewish people. So he says, it was given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place. And some people say that's Petra. I don't know. Where she is going to be nourished. She's going to be fed by God himself, or maybe by the nations that are there. Remember the sheep and goat judgment of Matthew 25, when Jesus says, you know, when I was hungry, you gave me, you know, food and so forth, in prison, you visited me. Well, the sheep and goat judgment is about those nations that help Israel during the great tribulation period. And they're rewarded or they're cast away. Now, so it could be the nations as well. But God fed manna in the wilderness, amen? God can do anything. So we're not told, but he's going to take care of them. But look how long. It's going to be nourished for a time, that's 1 year, and times, that's 2 years, and half a time is half a year. That's 3.5 years God is going to protect the remnant of Israel. It says the same thing in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. It says, 3.5 years from the presence of the serpent. He can't get them. He's defeated again, man. And so some people say that this place in the wilderness is found in Isaiah 16:4, where it says, let my outcast dwell with you, O Moab, be a shelter to them from the face of the spoiler, For the extortioner is at the end, devastation ceases, the oppressors are consumed out of the land. Maybe that verse does, maybe it doesn't. Now, verse 15, so the serpent, Satan, look what he did now. He spewed water out of his mouth like a flood. That could symbolize his armies, I don't know. After the woman, that's Israel, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. Anyone want to come in here and explain that one? Let me ask you a question. Did you see the word like? Okay, it's like. Now, that John said, I don't know, it was like. So, I mean, is this literal? Is it symbolic? And you have to say, well, is the wilderness going to be literal? I think it's going to be literal. So maybe the water was literal as well. But here's what I know. One thing is certain from the scripture. God is going to protect the nation of Israel. Amen? The Bible is very clear that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord lifts up a standard. Amen? And that's what he's doing here. Verse 17. And the dragon, Satan, he wasn't very happy. It says, was enraged with the woman. Why? Because he couldn't get to her. He couldn't destroy Israel. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, the rest of the Jewish race. In other words, the remnant went into the wilderness, evidently. And so these are the ones who, they love the Lord, but they didn't go into the wilderness. I don't know why, we're not told. And it says he came against those that are not protected. But look what they do, though. They keep the commandments of God, and they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the testimony is not the testimony about Jesus. The testimony is about what Jesus said about the truth, about the gospel and how you're saved. The gospel, praise the Lord, is the power of God unto salvation, isn't it? Unto everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then unto the Gentile, Romans 1:16. Thank God for that. So Satan himself, man, he is the father of anti-Semitism, the anointed cherub in heaven, the perfect one, think about it, cast down to this earth, and he's going to be in hell forever and ever. And listen now, he knows it. He knows it. Never forget right now. You don't see the invisible enemy, but you don't see the invisible demons. They're here. But we know that greater is he who is in us than he is in the world. Amen? Amen. Yeah. We know that Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil, and we are in the one who destroyed the works of the devil. Yes. So we're in a real war with a real devil, and we live in enemy territory, don't we? This world is going to pass away. Again, 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in the sway, the arms, the cradle, if you will, unconscious in the arms of the wicked one. And so, man, we think about that. And so we're living his territory. And you know this, and I know this, the devil, he does not like you. Matter of fact, may I just be blunt, he hates you. He hates everything about you. He hates you when you rise up. He hates you when you lie down. He hates your marriage. He hates your singleness. He hates your children, your grandchildren. He hates everyone, every religion. He's full of hate. But boy, I tell you who he really hates. He hates God. He hates Jesus. And he hates God's living word, the truth. He hates it. Because it's going to happen. What God says is going to come to pass. And he knows it. And he knows also that he was a created being and he fell from heaven, loved one. Listen, and he'll do something. He will do anything, anything to keep you from opening your Bible and believing the word of God. He wants to take your Bible time, your prayer time away from you. He doesn't want you, you know, my life scripture about God's truth, John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you or set you free. Amen. And verse 36 says, and whom the Son sets free, he has been set free indeed. Amen. Now, with all of that being said, he wants to prevent you from doing something. He doesn't want you to do a Romans 12:1-2. He doesn't want you to be a living sacrifice. And he doesn't want you to renew your mind, which is the only basis for transformation, loved one, is that you renew your mind to the Word of God. And why does he not want you to do that? Well, because he knows that the Bible is the only book in all the universe that talks about his fall, his methods, who he is, and how he's defeated. And when you learn all about that, and you learn, and see, the devil knows this, and a lot of Christians don't, the devil, he knows that there's only one family on earth that can defeat him and keep him defeated. And that is the family of God. He knows that. We are the only people on earth, loved one. Think about that. Oh, listen, the Bible is very clear. John, he's writing in John 2:14. And he says, I've written unto you fathers, you know, he says, because you've known him who's from the beginning. I've written to you young men because you are strong. Present tense. You're not going to be strong, young men. It says you are strong. Why? And the Word of God, the living Word of God, lives in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. How do you overcome him? How do you demonstrate his defeat? The same way Jesus did, with the living Word of God. Amen? I feel better. You follow me. That's how you demonstrate his defeat, with the Word of God. How do you do that? Here's where you begin, Christian, and you know this. You put on how much of the armor of God? All of the armor of God. It's not your armor. It's God's armor. He says, you put my armor on, you got it made. Now listen, but the problem is too many strong Christians. What did Paul tell us before he said to put on the armor? In 6:10 of Ephesians, he says, finally, brethren, be strong in yourselves. No, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God. Amen? Yes. The whole armor of God. And when you do that, you'll stand. And after you've done that, what does it say to do? Stand and keep standing, because God says that you can do that. So Christian, listen, if you don't do that, you're going to become his victim. Did you know that? You're not going to lose your salvation, but I don't want to be his victim. One last thing. The devil, he is an expert at this. In Ephesians 4:27, he's an expert. And what does that word say? It says, give no opportunity to the devil. The word opportunity means don't open the door. He is an expert at putting a door in your midst, the wrong door, but it looks so good. It looks so beautiful and so perfect. Why? Well, he's the angel of light. And boy, you want to enter that. No, no, no. You be led by the Spirit, not by his open doors. Amen? Yes. Now, I'm sure that all of us in our early service, all of us are saved. But if you're not saved, I want you to listen to me. There is only one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. He's the way, he's the life, he's the truth. But the problem with the devil is this, is that the devil tells people that are not saved, that those who Jesus is not your Lord, he tells you this, oh, wait. There are many ways to God, many roads to God, many ways to the Lord. And he says, you know, God loves you. He would never send you to hell. He would never do that. No, God would never. You send yourself to hell. You see, what the devil does, he does this. He says, you know what? There is a way that seems right unto man. That's what the Bible says. Oh, there's a way that seems right unto man, but it leads only to death. And that's exactly the road you're on right now. It seems right. It looks right. But it only leads to death. And that means eternal separation from God forever and ever. So as we bow our heads quickly, every Christian praying, if you're here and Christ is not your Lord, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, he loves you, he died for you, and he wants to save you. But that is up to you now. If that's you, don't get out of your chair, but just simply lift your hand high, put it right back down, and then I will pray. Anyone in this early service, lift it high for me, and I can see if there's anyone here, and we're going to close out. Lord, I don't see one hand this morning, and praise the Lord, I believe everyone here is a Christian, but if you're listening live and you lifted up your hand, say, Bill, I know I can't hear you, but God does. Ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Right now, just ask him, and he will save you. Father, I thank you for this day, and again for the spring festival, the baptisms, Lord. I thank you for just your divine protection as we all, after the second service, just assemble and have a wonderful time. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your word. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen.
We appreciate you listening to the broadcast this week. And just a reminder that Pastor Bill's study of Revelation will continue on Monday. So please tune in again. May the Lord bless you with a safe and restful weekend, and we'll see you again on Monday. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.